The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is show number 300, and it's Monday, November 18th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today. There's so much going on in the world of marijuana reform, and we are here to bring it to you every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., and 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. right here on 420radio.org. You can also catch us on TuneIn Radio and on Spreaker.com, and trying to make our way onto iHeartRadio, but we need your help. If you'll go to Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and create yourself an account and follow 420 Radio on Spreaker. When we get 100 followers, we can submit our feed to iHeartRadio, the most popular web radio application out there. So please help us out if you can. All right, on today's show, we return to our regularly scheduled lineup, which means on Mondays, we talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Q&A. You can call in at 5:30 at 971-533-7111 or get involved in our chat room at rad-r.us/420chatroom, and you can ask your live questions of one of America's leading researchers on cannabis history, science, culture, and health. Dr. Mitch Earlywine also writes the Ask Dr. Mitch column in High Times magazine and is the author of numerous really, really important books about marijuana reform. So we'll get him at 5:30 and get your questions ready. For our radical rant today, I'm going to be taking a look at the newest step in the Box Canyon theory. This is the high CBD oil you saw on the Sanjay Gupta documentary Weed. They're calling it Alepsia, and I want to show you exactly how that's starting to threaten medical marijuana in Pennsylvania, of all places. Also, we'll have time to go behind the headlines. The Quest Diagnostics company has released its 25th annual drug testing index. I've got the latest stats on workplace drug testing in America, and these stats should shock you. Also, coming up, we've got our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune. Bacon Dan will be calling in to bring us some great music from the Radiators. And then in hour two, Toker Talk Radio will take your calls at 971-533-7111. A couple questions online tonight. What will be the last state to legalize marijuana? And have you heard of this new super Vicodin? That's coming up in hour two. Thanks for joining us. It's the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond.
We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 18th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Democratic lawmaker wants to help pot smokers lock and load, from the Daily Caller. Colorado Democratic Representative Jared Polis introduced a bill in Congress last week that would allow people who smoke marijuana in legal states to also own guns. In 2011, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives sent an open letter to all federally licensed gun sellers warning them that it's illegal for anyone who is, quote, an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance, end quote, to own a gun or ammunition. The memo made clear that, quote, regardless of whether his or her state has passed legislation authorizing marijuana use for medical reasons, end quote, owning a firearm is prohibited. Polis' bill is intended to amend the law to, quote, provide exceptions from the firearm prohibitions otherwise applicable in relation to marijuana if its possession is lawful under state law, end quote. Pennsylvania parents of children with epilepsy pin hopes on pot bill. From TribLive.com, Senators Dalen Leach, Democrat of Montgomery County, and Mike Fulner, Republican of Lebanon County, will introduce legislation to legalize medical marijuana with a high ratio of CBD. It's a thick oil made from CBD, which patients can place under the tongue and add to food. When made from the right strain of plant, the medicine does not contain enough of the psychoactive element THC to get a patient high. CBD oil nearly stopped seizures in Charlotte Feige, a 5-year-old in Colorado with Dravet syndrome, a severe form of epilepsy. Her story was featured in a CNN documentary by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and her mother Paige will speak in Harrisburg. The Food and Drug Administration recently gave approval to GW Pharmaceuticals to investigate treating epilepsy with CBD, along with a clinical trial at New York University. Senator Leach said he's encouraged by some bipartisan support for the CBD bill, though he has not discussed it with Senate leaders. Half of Wisconsin voters support marijuana legalization, from Madison.com. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke seemed amused when asked what she thought about cannabis legalization several weeks ago. Quote, I don't think that's where the people of Wisconsin are at, end quote, said Burke, who has indicated she could support legalizing medical marijuana. The most recent statewide poll by the Marquette University Law School showed that roughly half of Wisconsin's registered voters support full legalization of the drug. Specifically, 49.7% supported legalization, 44.9% opposed it, and 4.7% didn't know. Marijuana decriminalization in Puerto Rico will have to wait, from Huffington Post. The island's lower house let the legislative session expire without taking up a bill passed by the Puerto Rican Senate that would have decriminalized the possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana, Puerto Rican daily El Nuevo Dia reports. The bill's author has vowed to reintroduce the measure next year. The proposal is one of two major bills that questioned the issue of marijuana prohibition during this year's legislative session. The other bill would have legalized marijuana for medical use. But efforts to ease marijuana regulation hit a speed bump this month when a survey by Puerto Rican daily El Nuevo Dia found overwhelming opposition to them. A whopping 70% of respondents opposed decriminalization and 60% opposed legalizing medical marijuana. Under Puerto Rico's current law, marijuana possession carries penalties of up to 3 years in jail and up to $5,000 in fines. Being white is best defense against marijuana arrest, recent report proves. According to a report released by the New York Attorney General last week, the number one reason for arresting people stopped under New York's controversial stop and frisk law was marijuana possession. And 87% of the people nabbed for pot possession after a stop and frisk were black or Latino. And if you were white, or for that matter Asian, and you were unlucky enough to get arrested for having some marijuana on you, you were 50% more likely to have a court throw out your case than if you were black, the report showed. The ACLU found that blacks are arrested 3.73 times more often for marijuana possession than whites, even though people of both races use marijuana at similar rates, and among 18 to 25-year-olds, whites use pot more often. Colorado fire officials fear explosion of marijuana oil production. Fire officials in Colorado say they are concerned the state's new laws on marijuana will lead to more accidents. Last month, the Colorado Information Analysis Center put out a bulletin warning about the dangers of hash oil production at home, noting numerous cases, including some deaths. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 18th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we take a look at the 25th anniversary release of the Drug Testing Index and some shocking statistics concerning marijuana, opioids, and amphetamines. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Let 'em bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. .org presents an original production of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink with Big Daddy, the best of 70s funk and disco, right here every Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific, and 2-hour blocks of replays at 10 p.m. every weekend, Friday and Saturday nights, Pacific time, right here on 420radio.org. Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines as positive drug tests for opioids and amphetamines double as marijuana positives are now the lowest ever. According to data analyzed by Quest Diagnostics for its drug testing index, the nation's leading provider of workplace drug testing, positive tests for amphetamines like Adderall have more than doubled since 2002, while positive tests for opioid drugs like Vicodin and OxyContin have risen 172% and 71% respectively since 2005. Meanwhile, positive tests for cannabis in the index have fallen in the past few years to the lowest levels ever recorded, with just 2% of all drug tests indicating cannabis use, a reduction by almost half since 2002. Overall, drug test positives have declined from over 10% to about 4% nationwide, with over 43% of all positive drug tests attributable to marijuana. Fewer failed marijuana drug tests might indicate that workers are using marijuana less, but federal surveys do not seem to bear that out. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health found in 2002 that 48.6% of people employed full-time had never used marijuana, a number that is unchanged in the latest 2011 survey. If you consider only past month use, there are slightly more full-time and part-time employees regularly toking now, when the positive drug test rate is 2%, than in 2002 when the rate was a hair below 3%. If toking habits haven't changed much, then drug test taking must have. Experts hypothesize that workers have become more adept at beating drug testing, whether it is through the use of masking agents, synthetic urine, or simply detoxifying before the test. Unfortunately, testing has also led to the emergence of the so-called synthetic pot that isn't tested for, incentivizing pot smokers to try these untested potent drugs to beat their test. The results have been an increasing number of tokers headed to emergency rooms, unable to adequately moderate their use of these powerful synthetic cannabinoids. The Drug and Alcohol Testing Industry Association, or DATIA, is a powerful lobby that represents over 1,200 companies and fights efforts to legalize marijuana, believing that the growing acceptance of marijuana, or as they put it, medical marijuana, in scare quotes, presents a danger to the workplace. Quote, marijuana still impairs a user's ability to safely operate a motor vehicle or stay awake on the job, end quote, claims their seminar materials for The Marijuana Dilemma and What Employers Can Do About It. So, wouldn't that danger apply in spades to workplace users of powerful opioids and amphetamines? The Director of Science and Technology for Quest Diagnostics Employer Solutions, Dr. Barry Sample, yes, really, Dr. Sample, explains, quote, our data show that an increasing number of workers are testing positive for certain prescription drugs, such as opiates and stimulants. Even when used under prescription, these drugs can have an impact on workplace safety, end quote. But according to the Wall Street Journal, quote, independent studies suggest that 65% to 80% of positive tests for amphetamines and opiate use are ultimately disregarded because the user has a valid prescription for the drug, end quote. When about 4 out of 5 people are failing drug tests for OxyContin and they get to keep their jobs thanks to a doctor's note, and hardly anybody failing a drug test for cannabis gets to keep their job even in a medical marijuana state, it doesn't really seem like workplace safety is what's the issue here. And color us unimpressed by appeals to workplace and user safety when the FDA has just approved the prescription of the new drug Zohydro, an easily abused version of Vicodin that is 10 times as potent. Stay tuned for hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio. We're going to tell you all about Zohydro, this new super Vicodin that was just approved by the FDA, and give you some even more chilling statistics about the rising abuse of opioid painkillers in America and how the DEA is actually facilitating that abuse hand in hand with their partners in big rehab. There's a lot of money to be made in getting people addicted to pills, selling them the pills to get off that addiction, and then selling them the rehab to get off of the pills. We'll talk about that in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, here on the Russ Belville Show. And stay tuned, because coming up next, we've got our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune. Bacon Dan will be calling in with some new music here from the Radiators for us on this fine Monday morning. And remember, we've got all sorts of great shows coming up the rest of this week. But first, it's time for us to take a break. It is Union Rules, after all. 20 after the hour, hoping you're able to celebrate in the way you would prefer. And if not, I guess I'll have to celebrate a little extra for you. Be right back.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Saludos desde la revista High Times. Te invitamos a venir a Amsterdam desde el 24 al 28 de noviembre al 26 aniversario de nuestro Cannabis Cup, donde demostraremos las muchas variedades de marihuana y hachís en los coffee shops. También tendremos una exposición de productos, seminarios de sembradíos, conciertos en las noches y una ceremonia de premios donde honramos la mejor marihuana del mundo. ¡Vámonos!
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, welcome back. In between federal holidays and flights, I've missed the last few Mondays, but I want to let everyone know we are back for our regular Monday schedule, and that includes tonight a new edition of the new Viper Hour, the best in reefer jazz music and culture. We're going to be bringing that to you at 8 p.m. Pacific live tonight, the new Viper Hour, so check that out. And it also means we get to our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes, and that means Bacon Dan's on the phone with us. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing extremely well this Monday afternoon. Ross, how are you?
I'm extremely well as well, even though it is quite rainy and blustery outside.
Yeah, it really is, but I love this kind of weather, so just adding on to my happy vibes of today.
Well, that's great. Glad you're so happy. And for today's tune, you pulled up a group that used to have a longer name. Why don't you tell us about the Radiators?
Yeah, well, actually, it's the Radiators, which even about itself, I for a long time called them. I got corrected one time by a fish head, which is what they call their loyal fan base.
Okay.
The Radiators out of New Orleans, best way I can describe it is like if Dr. John, the Grateful Dead, and your average garage band all kind of ran at each other at full speed and merged into one, you kind of get that sound.
Okay.
It's great music. It's just the kind of music, especially this song is one of my favorite ones, just to go out on the open road and just kind of when I have a long stretch to drive, really makes me smile. And given the title of the song, Nail Your Heart to Mine, a little bit in love right now. I met a very nice little redhead here in Portland who's showing tons of potential. Also a very big fan of the Herb, which just adds on to the goodness of it. So I figured, well, I'm kind of filled with all this good energy and good feelings right now. Might as well pick a song that's super appropriate to it.
All right, well, here it is, the Radiators with Nail Your Heart to Mine. And watch out, Bacon Dan. You got to watch out for them Portland Gingers.
Oh, I know.
We'll see you later, man.
Cannabis Cup van 24 tot en met 28 november in Amsterdam in de Van Genthallen bij Amsterdam Roest. Verwacht alle coffeeshophouders uit Amsterdam die hun beste nieuwste producten laten zien. En hun wiet en hash wordt gekeurd door een panel aan deskundige wiet-experts die een uitreiking gaan doen wie de beste wiet en hash heeft van het land. Verder heel lekker eten, drinken, sapjes, toffe optredens in de Melkweg. Dus zorg dat je erbij bent. 26e editie van de Cannabis Cup.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour. It's time for our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch. But the number I'm dialing out to him with is busy at the moment. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that at the moment. So we will play a little bit of music. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have Dr. Mitch on the line. Stick around. This is Willie Nelson with the Hesitation Blues.
Up this morning looking for my shoes, look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Rocking chair, blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
All right, welcome back, everybody. I think we've got Dr. Mitch on the line. Are you there?
Indeed I am.
Oh, fantastic. Great to have you back here. We've had a few weeks off between the federal holidays and the flights, but it's great to talk to you again. I want to remind everybody we're taking your questions in our live chat room, so get those ready for us as we discuss the first couple of topics. Or if you like the old-fashioned way, you can just call in live at 971-533-7111. We always open up by giving Dr. Mitch the first word in the latest in cannabis science. So what's new, Doc?
So, in fact, the guy who discovered the THC receptor, the CB1 at least, Raphael Mahulam, the guy from Israel, just put a paper out suggesting that, in fact, cannabidiol looks like it really can help sort of protect folks against some of the memory impairing effects of THC, but he wanted to emphasize that at least in the animal literature, it doesn't protect against every single possible deficit in working memory. But again, those are during intoxication or basically right after THC administration. We still don't see any meaningful impairments in chronic users when they haven't used recently.
Okay, that's good. And I know the last we had spoken, you were working on a few papers or studies trying to get the approval on those. Any movement on those?
So we definitely are gathering data slowly but surely on the cannabis and menopause, and I'm really grateful for everyone who's been participating. And if you're willing to pass that along to anybody who might be that age and gender, I'm certainly grateful. And I'm afraid the first DABS paper got bounced by the first journal we sent it to, but I'm optimistic we can kind of tighten things up and send it off to another journal.
All right. So you mentioned the cannabidiol and Dr. McCullum and his work with, you know, these various compounds. And this is getting a lot of play lately, CBD, cannabidiol, specifically from the Sanjay Gupta documentary where they show cannabis oil helping this little girl with Dravet syndrome, you know, basically almost cure her epilepsy. Now we've got people in Utah trying to get it. The state senator in Pennsylvania just dropped a medical marijuana bill that would legalize only the high CBD plants and high CBD oil. What's your take on these recent developments with CBD, and how might they affect our push for medical marijuana in general?
I'm always delighted when anybody can find something that helps any of their disorders, but epilepsy in particular. The medications that are available for those can be very sedating for some folks, and even if they do prevent seizure, they can kind of make you a zombie. Some of them don't work for some people. And we've had data since the 80s suggesting cannabidiol might be helpful. This is in a kind of quasi-gray area legally. You can get CBD sort of sent to you from a company outside your state, but it's just not something that people have basically faced law enforcement about just yet. I like this idea because I think it points out that the cannabis plant is a source of some wonderful medicine of all types. If this is the type that folks are comfortable with first, by all means, let's push the high CBD stuff for now until folks are ready for strains that also have THC. But I think it does have a bit of ironic paradox, if you will, that we're happy to take one cannabinoid and not another is a little curious.
The story I was going over, and in fact I mentioned it in behind the headlines, was in Utah they're calling it Alepsia, which I found ironic that they're having to change the name of medical marijuana to Alepsia so that it, you know, allays people's fears about marijuana, when marijuana was the word we used in the first place to distract people from the fact that it was medical. We've gone full circle now.
You know, what's crazy is the first time somebody used the term concentration camp, it was a euphemism for death camp. And now we say that when we mean death camp. So it's just hilarious how we can come up with these euphemisms.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this high CBD oil, the theory they're floating in Utah is that it's just like hemp seed oil that you would get at a Whole Foods. It's so low in THC that it could qualify for interstate, you know, shipments, and it wouldn't be illegal under Utah law. But does the federal government ban CBD itself, the molecule, or is it just when it's within cannabis plants?
So right now, CBD is not a scheduled drug. So it's not Schedule 1, and it's not even Schedule 5. It's just not on the radar. There are, like, eBay sites that will send you CBD gum and things like that if you're willing to pay the price. I'm not sure how long that's going to last. And given some of the things that the feds have done recently with Silk Road and things like that, I'm never going to underestimate those guys.
Yeah, not even on the schedule. So THC in any form, whether it's in the plant or synthesized or whatever, in all its, you know, various incarnations that we find on K2 and Spice, all those are illegal, but CBD's not even on the schedule?
Well, and what's crazy is, so THC as Marinol is one schedule that's less illegal to own than THC, the marijuana natural plant. And then all those spice things really aren't like THC. They're not partial agonists to the CB1 receptor. They're usually direct agonists, and, I mean, they're available for animal research, but really not good for human consumption, and they're yet a different schedule. It's kind of nutty.
We've got a question from our chat room about this, wondering that CBD without THC, are there other conditions where the two in concert are better than just CBD by itself?
As it turns out, some of the work with MS patients, not only with pain but also with muscle spasm, suggests that there's at least a subset of folks who respond better to the combination. Cannabidiol itself really isn't psychoactive, so if it does create a mildly relaxing effect, but it's great for some of the insomnia and things like that that we see by itself. But with THC, it's super good as far as the insomnia and sleep literature is concerned as well.
I worry with this focus on CBD lately and it being non-impairing, they keep emphasizing it's non-psychoactive, that we might end up where CBD is considered to be medical marijuana and THC is considered something that just gets you high. If that's the case, what can we tell people about THC by itself and its medical utility?
Well, as it turns out, most of the legendary appetite-enhancing effects are really THC and not CBD at all. I have gotten reports from folks who say CBD actually decreases their appetite, which, I mean, there aren't any published data on that, but I can't imagine anybody would make that up.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly for the appetite enhancement associated with AIDS-related wasting and cancer chemotherapy and things like that, we definitely need THC in that armament, because the other drugs that are available for enhancing appetite are just relatively ineffective and absurdly expensive in comparison.
Mm. All right. Another story that I haven't gotten to yet, but I'm going to cover it in hour two, deals with this FDA approval of a new opioid called Zohydro, which is 10 times, apparently 10 times more hydrocodone than Vicodin. And the FDA's own board voted 11-2 against approving this stuff, but it got approved anyway. What do you think will be the outcome of the approval of this new super Vicodin? And what does that show as far as money talks in the approval process?
I was disheartened by this, but in truth, I feel like this is what we're up against with the free market. So the fact that you can vote 11-2 and still end up with a drug on the market makes me wonder, well, what is the point of having the vote? If the big pharma basically can put anything out they want, now we have to really rely on individual consumers to be educated in that sense. So if a physician writes you a script for something and you realize, hey, I heard this was dangerous, it's okay to ask for Vicodin instead. And with a lot of pain, I'd much rather have aspirin and cannabis.
You know, another aspect of this story has to deal with the double dipping by the company that makes not only this drug, but a prescription version of naltrexone to treat opiate addiction, which seems to me about the same ethical level as a cigarette company selling a stop smoking patch. I mean, what are the ethics involved in these kind of situations where you sell the drug and you sell the drug that treats the addiction to that drug?
I mean, the irony is with some of the tobacco companies, too. They also sell those nicotine gums and patches, mm-hmm. and things like that. At least their superordinate company that owns them both. And I find this just ethically reprehensible. This is just completely creepy on all grounds. And in a sense, it's making addicts for money. I just hate the thought of that. But I don't want to interfere with the market in some ways, because I'd much rather people just make educated decisions. But we really got to get the word out that just because you're in pain doesn't mean you need an opiate.
Yeah. Okay. And just to wrap things up here, I had an article that I had gotten published up in High Times magazine online today, where I asked or I theorized as to what the final states, who the final states would be that would legalize marijuana. Because everywhere I go, you know, I go to Texas, they say, oh, Texas will be the last to legalize. I go to Florida, they say, oh, Florida, oh, we'll be the last to legalize. Do you have any bets in this pool, Dr. Mitch?
What's funny is you have to think about the demographics. So it's not going to be parallel to alcohol necessarily. Mississippi was one of the last states to basically let alcohol be sold, and there are still many dry counties there. But I feel like Mississippi is also a place where cannabis could grow wild and easily. So we can't necessarily go on those. If I had to pick, I would hate to jinx. I would hate to jinx a particular state, and so I'm cautiously superstitious about such a thing.
Okay, we won't jinx that. Just to let the cat out of the bag, I picked my own home state of Idaho, but maybe I'm just a little biased. I figure when the legislature votes 29-5 that marijuana shall never be legal for any reason, even medical, that's a pretty good warning shot.
I got to admit, those are some compelling data.
Okay. Folks, if you want to get your question into Dr. Mitch early on, you can do so through 420 Radio's contact page. We got a drop-down list there. You can pick Ask Dr. Mitch, or you can send your emails directly to 420research@gmail.com. And oftentimes, your questions become the spark for a new study or a new survey. And again, Dr. Mitch, if people want to get involved with your current surveys, can you give them some contact info?
Essentially, if they can email me at 420research@gmail.com, that's 420research@gmail.com, I'm happy to send them the appropriate link.
Oh, all right, there we go. So just do that, folks. We'll get you all linked up and get this data collected. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, for joining us here, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, folks, when we come back, time for a radical rant. That high CBD oil, that Alepsia stuff, is it the next step into the box canyon of medical marijuana? We'll talk about that when we come back.
You smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and mentions most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe.
Okay.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're parked, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Alepsia is the latest proof of medical marijuana's box canyon. Since my days working for Normal, I've been a chief proponent of the box canyon theory of medical marijuana. In a nutshell, the theory states, if you fight only for medical marijuana, your marijuana is going to be only medical. While medical marijuana as a political strategy has opened up the country to further marijuana reforms, its eventual trajectory lies in the realm of pills, sprays, inhalers, and tinctures of reliable dosage and consistency, manufactured by pharmaceutical companies to eliminate that dreaded side effect, the high. The Box Canyon theory has borne out so far in the increasing qualifying restrictions in successive medical marijuana states. California started medical marijuana in 1996 with its famous catch-all qualification of any other illness for which marijuana provides relief. Thus, anyone with $40 and a compelling story was able to qualify for medical marijuana. So, successive states create stricter qualifying condition lists until you wind up with Illinois' list of 33 very specific polysyllabic conditions requiring detailed medical documentation. The early Western medical marijuana states allowed for patients to grow their own cannabis. Soon, trunk loads of marijuana with direct ties to medical marijuana gardens were being seized by cops in the Midwestern states, leading the last eight states to pass medical marijuana laws that mandate dispensary shopping and do not allow home growing. Even in the Western states with relatively lax medical marijuana laws, there's a tendency for medical marijuana patients to find themselves separated from the fight for overall legalization by fears that it will impact their medical use. California's Prop 19 and Washington's I-502 faced their only organized, well-funded opposition from medical marijuana dispensaries. In Washington, you actually had two campaigning sheriffs arguing over who supported legalization more while dispensary owners were spending prohibition profits to maintain the status quo. Now, the latest verification of the Box Canyon theory comes from the growing calls for legal alepsia. This is the name given to high CBD oil manufactured in Colorado from Charlotte's Web and other plants with a high CBD to THC ratio. Since it was featured in Dr. Sanjay Gupta's CNN Weed documentary, parents across the country, whose children suffer from intractable epilepsy, are clamoring for this miracle cure. The top pediatric oncologist in Utah, of all places, is supporting efforts by State Representative Gage Furr to import alepsia from Colorado. Furr theorizes that since alepsia is so low in THC, it is no more illegal than hemp seed oil that you can buy at Whole Foods. And Francis Fillo, the chief of University of Utah's Division of Pediatric Neurology, said, quote, "I would like to express my strong belief that CBD-based oils should be available as soon as possible to Utah children with severe epilepsy. The substance is not psychoactive or hallucinogenic. It contains less THC than do other materials that can be legally purchased in Utah, and it has absolutely no abuse potential," end quote. In Pennsylvania, State Senator Dalen Leach has introduced medical marijuana bills over the past few legislative sessions, all to no avail. Now, with the greater exposure to the plight of epileptic children on CNN, Leach will be introducing today a bill that legalizes only high CBD, low THC medical marijuana, and it appears Leach's previous Senate Bill 770, a standard medical marijuana bill with home growing provisions, will be left to die in committee. Meanwhile, GW Pharmaceuticals has begun human trials on THC and CBD for treatment of brain cancer. GW is also the manufacturer of Sativex, which is a whole plant cannabis tincture approved for multiple sclerosis treatment in 11 countries and pending in 11 more. And just this week, GW won FDA approval of Epidiolex, its pharmaceutical version of high CBD alepsia. The approval was as an orphan drug, and this designation fast-tracks GW's efforts to test and market their Epidiolex to children suffering from Dravet syndrome, like the little girl who benefited from the high CBD oil in the CNN documentary. With increasing speed, the opponents of marijuana reform have realized that the tales of desperate epileptic children experiencing miracle relief from cannabis products opens the public's mind to legalizing medical marijuana. So now they are pruning away that support by approving pharmaceuticals that treat those conditions as well or better than traditional whole plant cannabis. Soon, when there's Sativex and Epidiolex and other formulations that reliably treat spasticity and seizures, pain and nausea, all without the dreaded high, you can bet the dispensaries will be forced to clear out their plant inventories in favor of measured, tested pharmaceuticals approved by the government and paid for by health insurance. And then, where are the consumers who enjoy the plant? Where are they left? They're left in the same moral frame as people who chug cough syrup or crush and snort OxyContin, recreational abusers of legitimate medicine. Medical marijuana is now in the hands of pharmaceutical companies. It's time for the people who support the plant for all of its uses to come together and fight for full legalization, possession, home growing, and legal markets, which, after all, is the best medical marijuana access of all. We are now enjoying majority support for legalization nationwide and even statewide in places like Texas and Louisiana. So why bother continuing to push a medical frame that only serves to enrich GW Pharmaceuticals?
All right now, class is in session. The devil got something he wanna lay on y'all. Check this out right here.
All right, let's pay attention in class, pay attention in class. I'm gonna drop these three jewels on you. Check it. Number one, when you're thinking about something, you just think it. Number two, when you believe something.
All right, Radical Rant concluded quicker than I expected, so I just wanted to throw some music here in the background.
Then you know.
But I am starting to form a very strident and new political philosophy with respect to medical marijuana. I think we're being duped now. I think we're being tricked. I think we're being hoisted by our own petard. I think we're in a situation where when we first started medical marijuana, we would bring forth right front and center, we'd bring out the cancer patient. We'd bring out the paralyzed person in the wheelchair. We'd bring out the severe multiple sclerosis patient. And we'd say, oh my God, how could you let these people suffer? How could you not vote for medical marijuana? How could you not allow these people the choice of the safest, most effective therapy for their condition, especially when so many other traditional therapies won't work? Well, folks, that's starting to get turned on us now. Now, like State Senator Daylon Leach is going to introduce bills that legalize only high CBD marijuana and only for those rare conditions that it will treat. And then those people no longer have any reason to fight for whole plant cannabis because they got theirs. They got the solution that took care of their little girl, that took care of their child. And there's no reason for them to support any further marijuana reforms. We are going to slowly but surely lose the people who are medical users of cannabis as the pharmaceutical companies are able to come up with solutions for them that work just as well or better. Solutions that are not illegal under federal law, solutions that won't require a massive change in the law, solutions that will be paid for by their health insurance coverage, especially or eventually if Obamacare rolls out. So we face a crossroads, I believe, now that we've gotten two states that have legalized, and now that we're moving into two election cycles, 2014 and 2016, where legalization is the topic of discussion. It is time for us to strike while the iron is hot and to stand up for just the right to get high. Everything about this Alepsia story that we've been talking about is predicated on it's not psychoactive, it's not hallucinogenic, there's no abuse potential, it can't get you high, it won't get you high. The continuing demonization of people who merely like to get high. What is wrong with that? It's time for us to start standing up for that right, or we'll have fewer and fewer marijuana users standing up with us. Some great music here from Don Redman and his orchestra, Chant of the Weed, which reminds me, tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time, we got a new edition of the new Viper Hour, where we celebrate the reefer jazz culture of the early 20th century, going all the way back to Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway, up through the Rat Pack of the late 50s and early 60s. If they're singing about drugs or alcohol, and alcohol, which is a drug anyway, if they're singing about drugs, we've got it. On the new Viper Hour, and a little bit of sex too from time to time. Join us at 8 p.m. tonight live. It's always a good time here at the new Viper Hour. But that's all the time we got here for hour one of the Russ Belville Show, and thank you for being with us through 300 independent episodes. We began on June 4th, 2012. We're 300 episodes in. Someone asked me, when would episode 420 be? Well, I guess it'd be about 24 weeks away. If we do five shows a week, where does that put us? Is that somewhere close to actual April 20th? Maybe not. We'll see. Remember, this week we've got more shows coming to you, including tomorrow we hope to go across the pond with Normal UK. On Wednesday, we've got Betty Retro from the new group Parents for Responsible Cannabis Use. The Black Tuna himself, Bobby Platshorn, and Brad Lane from Cannabis Planet TV are with us Thursday with some incredible announcements about new distribution. And then we hope to get Danny Danko on the line from Amsterdam this Friday.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
That's all the time we got, but stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got more news on Zohydro and other stories. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.